Now, I'm sure that we have, at some point in our lives, however old we are, have watched a film or a TV program, or maybe even in today's world, read a book, okay, controversial, but read a book that speaks about kingdoms, that speaks about kingdoms. But who can tell me what a kingdom is? What is a kingdom in a really, really simplistic way? Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. No, no, no. It wasn't a rhetorical at all. Don't worry. I will always try to say a rhetorical question, but no, it wasn't. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. In a really, really simplistic way, a kingdom is a place where a king and queen are in charge. Now, kids, if you're following the sheets, you'll know that that's your first one, I believe, your heading. So you've got to make sure you write that in, okay, so that you can go through the whole service with your parents or carers or grandparents at home after the service when you're eating your lunch. All right? Yeah? You there, kids? No. Where are you then? Oh, you're a ghost. Oh, well, well, I mean, that's a whole different line of theology right there. But a kingdom, and again, kids, this is another question on your sheet. A kingdom is where a king or a queen is in charge. They make the rules. The people are supposed to follow the rules. And then the king and the queen, they protect and care for the people. Now, technically, we do still live in a kingdom, i.e. the United Kingdom. And technically, we do still have a king, even though he doesn't really make the rules anymore. This is our... Oh, no. Oh, no. There's our king. There's our king and all these finery. What's his name? Any of the kids know his name? Ooh, King Charles, look at this. On fire today. On fire. Now, I'm sure that we all know of other kings and queens throughout time, and maybe in things that we've seen or watched or read. So here we go. Let's see if you know these kings and queens. Couple for the adults first, kids, all right? Couple for the adults. Who's that? Ooh, we know our history. Queen Victoria. Now, this one is a bit tricky. Let's see who gets it. Who's that? Or at least a representation of. Oh, who said Robert the Bruce? Oh, I wondered whether you'd see the little clue in there. I didn't want to make it too difficult, so I found one. Well, there was a little clue up in the top corner there. Robert the Bruce. Now, what kingdom did Robert the Bruce? Scotland. Scotland, absolutely right. Kids, coming to you now. So watch the screens, okay? Watch the screens. Who's this? Oh, it's not Simba. Who? Musa? No, what's his name? Mustafa. That's right, Mustafa. Even I couldn't get the word out there. Mustafa. Well, you know who he is, all right? Now here's the question. Okay, we might know who he is, but what kingdom was he the king of? The Pride Lands. Who said that? Rob, you watch way too much Lion King. He was the king of the Pride Lands. That's right. Okay, here's another one. Who's that? What's her name, sorry? Elsa. That's right, and she was queen of where? Arendelle. Isn't it concerning that it's the adults that are shouting out here? That's right, before she became the Ice Queen. Now, we couldn't go through famous kings and queens without this next one, okay? You'll understand why. Who's that? Who's that? King Julian from where? And what's he the king of? Ooh, yeah, I stumped you there, didn't I? The Luma Kingdom or Madagascar. There you go. I won't ask you to do any King Julian impressions, all right? Now, a little bit of fun just to, you know, get us going. But all of these kingdoms, all these kings and queens, whether Disney or whether real life, are nothing in comparison to the kingdom of God that I mentioned at the beginning. And there is and has been no earthly king or queen that can come close to Jesus, the King of the Kingdom. I've just realized there that I've pinched one that's got watermarks over it. So forgive me on that one. Now, God's kingdom is not limited to a certain place like Britain or even like Mustafa's Pride Lands, because God has ruled over all the universe for all time. We get a glimpse of this, don't we, whenever we read Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament and particularly in the Psalms. God's sovereign reign is declared over the creation. We see that in the creation story. We see it in Psalm 103. The Lord, it says, has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. King Nebuchadnezzar, an earthly king, is also recorded in Scripture, is declaring his kingdom, God's kingdom, is an eternal kingdom. Praise God. That in itself, knowing that simple truth, should give us real hope that God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom. But where it gets really special for each and every one of us personally is when God wanted to begin to reestablish his kingdom rule back upon the earth, and in doing so, drive out Satan and his rule and his claim. Which brings us to the first area that I want to talk about briefly this morning. Now, kids, there's a couple of gaps here that might give you a clue on this heading, on your sheets. The restoration of the kingdom on earth begins, or in other words, the inauguration, if you want to go down that route, but not this morning. You can go and explore that at your leisure. The restoration of the kingdom on earth begins. Now, the first stage of God's plan was through the life of Jesus upon the earth, i.e. through Jesus' birth, his ministry, and his death. And we read in Luke's gospel, for those who can remember back then, it wasn't that far, it was Luke 17, so it wasn't too far ago, that Jesus says this: one day the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God will come. And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." Now, I'm reading again, like last week in the NLT, just to make it a bit easier for the kids to follow along. Now, we've said many a time throughout our journey of Luke that the Jewish nation was awaiting a king themselves, weren't they? They were awaiting a Messiah who would, they hoped, would kick out the Romans and establish a rule over the nation of Israel. But Jesus' kingship is way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. Jesus had come to reestablish the kingdom of God upon the earth. And in doing so, throughout his ministry, he showed kingdom power and authority. So here's your next questions, kids, and these are also on your sheets, all right? So don't worry about putting your hands up, all right? But give me some things that Jesus did throughout his earthly life that showed the power of the kingdom working through him. What sort of things did he do? Healed people, yes. Well done. That's actually number one on my list. Well done, you. All right, so if you want to fill it in on the sheet, you can do. So he healed people, didn't he? Kingdom power working through Jesus. Come on, give me some others. Oh, I didn't quite catch that. Oh, he did. He did, absolutely. Well done. But that's at the end of my list. But well done. That's a good question. All right? Healed the sick and the lame. He raised people from death, didn't he? He controlled the natural world. We saw that when he was on the boat and he calmed the storm. And when we remember, we looked at this, didn't we? And we remember once he'd done that, once he'd calmed the storm, we read that his disciples were still looking at him frightened. And we explored the reality that to the disciples who were on the boat, they recognized, because it's in the Old Testament, that only God can calm the storms and the sea and the waves. So they looked at him thinking, who is this? Who is this that controls the weather? An amazing little glimpse of Jesus's divinity there. He cast out demons, didn't he? Throughout, these are all kingdom examples of kingdom flowing through Jesus into the world. Now, all these signs of kingdom are amazing. But it was through Jesus' death on the cross, wasn't it? Where he defeated sin and defeated Satan through the power of love and the power of grace, which not only paved the way for all to be saved and restored in right relationship with the Father through us placing our faith in Jesus, but also this act of Jesus on the cross brought to completion Jesus' ministry upon the earth. A moment when, as one commentator says, the splendor of God's royal power shone brightest. But it wasn't until, here's another one, kids, on your sheet. It wasn't until God raised Jesus from death to life and that he went back into heaven in God the Father's presence, and we often refer to that as the ascension, that Jesus was enthroned at the right-hand side of the Father and began to reign with full authority over the heavens and the earth, over the spiritual realm and the physical realm. A couple of verses here to support what we've just said. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And Philippians, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, the amazing and wonderful truth is that Jesus is still reigning today. He is still Lord of Lords. He's still King of Kings. He is still seated at the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for us, his people, for us, his church. That is a wonderful thing. That is a wonderful truth. But that's not where the story ends. The kingdom of God coming into the world through Jesus and his ministry and what he declared wasn't the end of it, which brings us to the next point. The restoration of the kingdom on earth continues. Now, Even though God's kingdom and Jesus' reign has come to the earth, it isn't fully established yet. And it comes later, well, that comes later when Jesus returns. But when Jesus started his ministry, we are told in Mark 1, verse 5, that Jesus said this, "A time promised by God has come at last." He announced these powerful words at the beginning of his ministry. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent for your sins and believe the good news." The kingdom of God is near in and through Jesus. So repent, turn to God. Turn to God and believe the good news of the kingdom. Many did follow Jesus. We can read that in the Gospels, and became one of his disciples, learning from him as he taught them all about the kingdom of God, about the Father, about freedom, about truth, and about righteousness. And one day, Jesus told them a parable about a mustard seed. Now, kids, do you know what a parable is? Because this is one of those words you'll hear church people throw around all the time. All right? Anyone have any idea, in a really, really simple way, what a parable is? Absolutely. It's a story Jesus told. Now, the reason that Jesus told these stories, told these parables, was to help us to learn something. He was teaching us something through these parables to help us grow closer to God and in our understanding of who God is. So we're going to watch a video. We're going to watch a video. Now, kids, need you to pay attention to the video, okay? Because there's three questions that I'm going to be looking for you to answer. Adults, you can do this as well, because I might just randomly throw one this way. Okay, so don't switch off. Three questions. What happened, and these are on your sheets, what happened to the mustard seed after it was planted? So that would be question one. What was the mustard seed like, according to Jesus, i.e. what did it represent? And how does God's kingdom grow today? So let's watch this video. Thank you, Tracy.
So part of God's story is about how Jesus explained God's kingdom, and it goes like this. Jesus taught people about lots of things, like how to love others, how to pray, and how to follow God. One of the things he talked about a lot was God's kingdom. To help people understand God's kingdom, Jesus told parables. A parable is a story that teaches people something important and helps us know God better. One of Jesus's parables was about a mustard seed. Jesus said the kingdom was like a tiny mustard seed that was planted in the ground and then grew and grew and grew until it became one of the biggest trees in the garden. Jesus was saying that like the mustard seed, God's kingdom might seem small at first, but it never stops growing. The kingdom of God started with just a few people, but every time someone decides to follow God and share Jesus with others, it grows. Jesus also told a parable about a man who planted seeds in the ground. The man went to sleep and the seed started to grow. Over time, it sprouted, then it got taller, and finally it was ready to be harvested. Jesus was saying that like the man who planted the seed, we have a part to play in God's kingdom. But just like the man couldn't make the seed grow, there's a lot in God's kingdom that only God can do. Another parable was about yeast. Yeast is tiny, the size of a grain of sand, but it's really powerful. As it spreads, the yeast makes the dough grow bigger and bigger. It also makes the bread delicious and soft. That means we may not always see what God is doing, but he is always moving. When someone chooses to follow Jesus, God is moving. When someone chooses to forgive someone, just like God forgives us, God is moving. When God's people pray, worship, and serve together, God is moving. God's kingdom is growing. We all have a part to play in God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is always working. And that's a little bit about the parables Jesus told about God's kingdom. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus told parables to teach us about God's kingdom. A tiny mustard seed grew into a huge tree. A man planted seeds and then had a big harvest. Yeast is small, but helps bread grow. All these parables help us remember God's kingdom. And that's a part of God's story. God's story.
Wonderful. So just to read that, we're only focusing on the mustard seed today, but just to read that, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? How can I describe it? What story, Jesus said, shall I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed, which is a really, 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 really small seed. He said, it's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all the garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make their nests in it. So, kids, first question. What happens to the mustard seed, according to the video, when it was planted in the ground? What happens to it? Go and shout it out. Shout it. It is like the kingdom of God. That's number two. That's great. But how, I don't want to get too deep on that. Yes, it is. That's the answer to number two, which was, what was the mustard seed like? What did it represent? And it represented the kingdom of God, doesn't it? But there's a lesson for us to learn in how it grows. Into a big tree, that's right. It starts really small in the ground. So when Jesus came to the earth and he started to proclaim the kingdom of God and start to show kingdom power, it's similar to the mustard seed going into the ground. But then as people heard the truth, as people came to give their life to Jesus and to follow, it grew and grew and grew, similar to the big tree that the seed would grow into. Here's the last question then. How does the kingdom grow even today? It was the same in Jesus' day, but it's still also the same today. How does the kingdom grow today? When people, spot on, when people believe in Jesus and they follow Jesus, the kingdom gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. See, when Jesus went back to heaven, or just before he went back to the Father to rule as King of Kings, he said to his disciples this. NLT translation. I have been given all authority, all power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, he says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations. He didn't just say, go and make disciples of some people, maybe in this town, in this country. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, new disciples, to obey all the command that Jesus had taught them. And be sure of this, a wonderful truth. I am with you always, praise God. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus was sending his disciples to continue to help grow his kingdom on earth with help and guidance from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming to the world and teaching about God's kingdom, sowed that very small mustard seed, and through Jesus' disciples sharing the kingdom and the good news of the gospel, people did give their life to Jesus, praise God, which has caused the kingdom to keep growing and to keep growing and to keep growing, just like the seed in the ground grows and grows and grows into the mightiest tree in the garden. For the last 2,000 years, Christians have been following Jesus' call to make disciples and teach people about Jesus and the kingdom. And it is through this truth that many of us are here today. Is it not? Is it not? We've heard the truth of the gospel, of the kingdom of God. That is why we have given our life to Jesus and why we gather as believers and followers in this place every Sunday. It's why faithful people have traveled the globe, have gone to different parts of the world, even really dangerous places, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, because this is fulfilling what Jesus told his disciples to do. It is helping the tree to grow, to use Jesus' analogy. But this brings us to the last point that I want to make, I just want to focus on this morning. And again, this is in your heading, kids, if you want to fill this in. The restoration of the kingdom on earth will one day be completed, will be consummated. Friends, the wonderful hope of the believer's heart clings to the return of the King. Return of the King, a Lord of the Rings analogy there. Return of the King and the full and complete establishment of his kingdom upon the whole earth, the whole universe. This great day of the Lord, which we don't have time to really unpack today, will come, we are told, like a thief in the night. That's why Jesus says that all his followers, all his believers should be ready, should be prepared. It will come like a thief in the night at an hour that we do not expect. It will not be quiet. This will be loud. This will be amazing. And all the earth will see. That's not my verse. Well, maybe it is. Oh, no, it's not. Sorry. We hear these truths in, that's the problem when you do PowerPoints and lots of them. All credit to you teachers. I mean, I'd get lost if I was doing PowerPoints every day. 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. This is a loud event, a loud coming of Christ. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. Now, I know many have views on this particular passage. Me personally, I believe that this is us meeting the Lord in the air to welcome him back to his earthly kingdom. This is a loud event that the earth will hear, the earth will see. On that day, Jesus will fully defeat evil and judge the world. Those who opposed Jesus and rejected him will get their wish. They will get their wish of never being with him. And that's something we can often forget. God isn't in the business of just condemning people for the sake of it. Ultimately, people don't want to be with Jesus. That's why people reject him. It's their own choice, and God will honor that, however much it breaks his heart. But also on that day, all believers will be glorified for eternity. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. Friends, when Jesus returns, even the very act of evangelism will seed, because the seed, the seed is fully grown into the tree. On that day Jesus returns, creation will be fully restored with a new heaven and a new earth, praise God. And when all is complete, Jesus will give the kingdom back to God the Father. He will give it back to God the Father and so continue the eternal kingdom of God in its full and complete sense. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, 26. Just as everyone dies because we are all belong to Adam, that's the state that we're all in, or everyone who isn't currently a believer in Christ. Everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life, praise God. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he, Jesus, will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and every authority and every power. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? It's a wonderful picture. We're coming into a close, you'll be pleased to know. Church, in much of our conversations with others about our faith and in our evangelism, we quite rightly speak about Jesus. We talk about how sin entered the world and how it has caused destruction upon the earth caused destruction in the hearts of God's created humans. We talk about Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross and his raising to new life. And we invite people into that saving faith, which is all amazing and all important and all wonderful. But the question that we must ask ourselves is our gospel proclamation to the world complete by just focusing on that? Are we missing a wonderful truth, a wonderful reality, by not always including a focus upon as well the proclamation of the kingdom of God in our evangelism? As we have seen, proclaiming the kingdom of God was important to Jesus. I mean, we are even told that when he was raised, when the Father raised him from death to life, we're told in Acts 1:3 that after Jesus rose from the dead, he talked to them, i.e. his disciples, about the kingdom of God. So even after Jesus' ministry and after he'd gone to the cross and after he'd been raised to new life, he still continues to talk about the kingdom of God. And this was a message that Jesus' disciples continue to include in their evangelism. In Acts, the book about the establishment of the early church, in Acts alone, there are six moments in time during those early evangelisms that we read about his disciples also proclaiming the kingdom of God. The last being from Paul the Apostle himself when he was in Rome. In Acts 28, 30 to 33, we read this: for 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. What was Paul doing? He was proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was teaching the kingdom of God, and he was teaching all about Jesus Christ. So what's our takeaways this morning? What do we take from this? Well, firstly, I'm going to encourage us to consider the kingdom in our own lives. Let it fill us. Let our understanding of the kingdom, and I encourage you to go off and explore it more, but let it fill us with hope, whatever we are facing. Remembering that though we will go through hardships and trials, and we've seen that in Luke, and we're seeing that in James, in our studies of James, even though we will go through hardship and trials, heaven and earth and even Satan and all the powers of darkness, both in this world and in the spiritual realm, are under the mighty kingship of Jesus, the King and Savior who called you, who called me, who cares for you and cares for me, and he walks with you as he walks with me. But secondly, we must remember the kingdom in our attitude to and during our evangelism of the gospel. Jesus has called all believers to continue to help grow his kingdom through our evangelism, by sharing the hope that it is in us, by being a witness to the world of God's kingdom and of Christ. We are to be, we are to act, and we are to think as kingdom people who help others not only see the saving power of Jesus and the grace of God poured out into the world, but also tell people of the power and the magnificence and the promise of God's kingdom upon the world. So over a cup of tea this afternoon and a bourbon biscuit, or whatever is your tipple when it comes to biscuits, consider the kingdom in your life. Consider the kingdom in our evangelism and our gospel proclamation, remembering that Jesus is looking to us to do our part in helping that mustard seed continue to grow into the tree that God wants it to grow into. Amen? Amen? Can someone get a photograph of the clock? For those who are new here today and thinking, what is all that about? There's a bit of a long-standing joke because I have a tendency to run on. Praise God. Give him the praise and the glory. Now, look, I'm going to invite the band up and they're just going to get prepared. But as they get prepared, I just want us to watch a couple of minute video, which will just tie in all of what we've said this morning nicely. Thank you, Tracy.
Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. We are the evidence of this great truth, the living branches of God's kingdom, redeemed by the power of the cross. We've been grafted into his family, adopted as sons, and commissioned as saints. Therefore we go, proclaiming the King and his coming kingdom, empowered by the Spirit. We are sent to sow the seed of the gospel among every tribe, tongue, language, and people. What a mighty God we serve, ruler of heaven and earth, worthy of our every word, every thought, every breath. We exist to make his name known. He is our Father, undying in love. He is our Lord, our Redeemer, our King. He is enthroned forever. By the work of Christ alone, we are united in him, heirs of the kingdom of God, reminded by the humblest of seeds.